This is Shudders Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 328 of Shudders Inc. This is Bruce Williams from ShuddersIncPodcast.com, and joining me via Skype from just up the road in Newcastle, a guy who, until 15 minutes ago, didn't even know that this podcast existed. Richard Bartlett, welcome to Shudders Inc.
Thanks, Bruce. It's nice to be here. Thanks for asking.
Mate, not a problem. So just a little bit of background for our listeners who, you know, probably don't know you. I came across you on Facebook, I think it was through Tegan Clark, who I've shot with a couple of times in the past, and I know you've shot with her a few times, and I think it was through her that I somehow came across your name and ended up following you, your work on Facebook. And the reason I wanted to reach out to you this week and say, hey, you know, come on the podcast for a chat, was because the thing I love about the work that you've, you know, certainly published in the 2 years that I've been following you is very, it's fantasy, it's creative, it's certainly complex. And I just wanted to get you on and have a chat about, you know, your vision and your approach to not only shooting, but also post-production. But before we get to that, can we start from the beginning? When did you first pick up a camera?
An SLR. I first picked up a film camera. I had my first SLR when I was 21.
Right.
And that
Do you, do you remember what sort of camera it was?
Yeah, it was a Nikomat FT3, which I still have up here in my shelf.
Oh, nice.
And I only got it back recently. I lent it to my nephew, and I thought, no, I need to have that back. So I'm glad I got that back. Anyway, yeah, basically it was back then. And I did some old interesting developing in my mum's laundry.
Right.
Used to overtake her laundry, and I got the developing trays and the enlarger and secondhand stuff, and just dabbled in black and white printing, which was pretty fascinating, but it's nothing compared to what I do now. You know,
yeah.
It just gave me a bit of a background and my learn for photography, you know.
Yeah, so just to backtrack a little bit further than that, did you know that you were inspired to pursue photography before you picked up the camera, or was it one of those instances where the opportunity presented itself and you thought, oh, I wonder what I can do with this thing, and the more you experimented with a camera and with film, the passion then grew out of that? Which came first?
Well, I'll tell you a story, Bruce. Is for many, many years as a kid, my dad was always taking photos. That's why we immigrated from England. We got pictures from England and family. So he's always been around, taking movie, film, things like that.
Right.
So I guess subliminally it was entrenched into my brain a little bit because I'm a visual person. I very rarely read a book, if any. I think most books I read was at school, and that was it.
Okay.
I'm a visual person.
Yep.
And then I did art at school.
Mm-hmm.
So because my grandmother and my father were sort of artistic, you would say. They did a lot of painting.
Yeah, right.
So I think I pick up the gene that way. And it wasn't a conscious thing that, oh, yeah, I want to go and do photography. I think to take photography seriously, it wasn't until I got my first computer.
Okay.
You know? And then the digital world came along.
Yeah.
And it inspired me. I could do more with photos that way than I could the old way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, certainly compositing is a hell of a lot easier in the digital realm.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
It can be complex. It depends on how good you, not say how good you are, but how much effort you put into learning to do something.
For sure.
If you're going to ask me about the digital world.
We'll get to that.
Yep. Okay, next question.
So you started at 21. How long were you shooting film before you got your first computer?
Probably about year 2000.
So are we talking 10 years? Are we talking 20 years? Or
yeah, well,
I don't know.
I'm just in my late 50s now, so it's a fair while.
Okay.
But I wasn't fully into, I did weddings on film and everything else. And it's only in the last, I think I shot my last wedding on film about 5 years ago. You know?
Really? Wow.
Yeah. So I wasn't convinced digital was the way to go because I got better
results,
say, overall exposure and everything through film.
Yeah, right.
But, I mean, digital cameras have come a long way now, and I wouldn't be without
them. Yeah, definitely.
You know?
So just out of interest, what sort of film stock were you shooting on up until 5 years ago?
It was basically just Fuji XP, you know, like 400 and things like that,
Nice.
I still have my film cameras here. I have a Nikon F100, which is absolutely a beautiful camera. It's a stunning camera. And I have a few film cameras here. A couple were given to me by some good friends as well, which is another story. They're quite well-known photographers and in their field, and the cameras are very significant in the movie industry.
Oh, right. Wow. Want to hear more about that later on. Okay, so you got your first computer around 2000, so I guess Photoshop at that stage would have been around about version 4 or 5, I guess.
Oh, yeah, about version 4.
Yeah.
And at the time, my background is electronics. I'm an electronics technician, if you're English.
In what industry?
In TV and audio.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Because I'm an audio engineer. That's my 40-hour-a-week day job.
Okay, yeah. I did an apprenticeship as a radio mechanic.
Oh, wow.
TV and electronics industry.
Right.
In the domestic repair industry.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so anyway, around about the year 2000, I was working in town and I discovered a man, you probably know his name, is Carl Hensel.
Carl Hensel. Hensel as in the lighting modifiers?
H-A-N-S-E-L, Carl Hensel.
Okay.
He was the only person I ever knew who was doing unbelievable things in the early Photoshop days.
Right.
You can look him up, and he does 3D rendering. He was the guru. He still is the guru in my eyes.
Yeah, right.
And Carl was a very generous man with his time and showed me these things. And it just opened up a whole new world to me. I thought, wow, if I can do something with this like he does, I was in my element because I like to create. And I'm a bit of a sci-fi buff and action freak.
Yeah.
And it just developed from there. Honestly, if you saw my first Photoshop picture.
It would make you cringe.
Yes.
Yeah. It does. I think we can all relate to that. You know, it doesn't matter what. Particularly in the creative arts, I don't think it matters what you do. You know, if you stay at it long enough, you look back at your first work and go, "Oh my god, that's awful."
What was I doing?
I've still got some of my early audio stuff that I made, you know, 20 odd years ago, and if I was to dig it out and listen to it now, I would cringe.
Yeah, I mean, this is why you need patience with people who don't have the experience or the knowledge.
Yeah. Definitely.
Because everybody has to start, and if you just go back and look at your first picture, you think, well, you know.
You realize how far you've come. Yeah.
Carl was very generous with his time and taught me a lot of things, and I'm trying to teach a few people of things here and there too.
Yeah, nice.
But in that time frame, I got my first Mac, which is probably about the year 2000, and in today's standards, it was probably a bit slow. And that was the era where the dot-coms were becoming very big.
Yeah.
The internet was just booming.
Yep.
And I entered this competition overseas in a travel competition, and I won first prize in a competition for Mexico.
Oh, right.
So I travel a bit and I have a few images.
Yep.
And they actually paid me $5,000 for one photo.
So that was the prize money for the comp?
Yeah, that was – they did this every month.
Wow.
Right. So that's when the dot-coms were becoming very, very popular.
Yep.
And I used that money to buy a better camera, upgrade my computer, things like that. So I invested that money into a bit better equipment.
Yeah, right. So you hinted a few minutes ago about your love of sci-fi and fantasy, and you know, that's evidenced from the work that I've seen you publish over the last couple of years. Do you want to talk us through... I don't know. I was just having a quick look at the Actionscapes section of your personal website at richardbartlett.com.
Yeah.
Do you want to pick one or two images there that, you know, tell me which one and I can bring it up and then maybe talk us through how you shot it, what you were pre-visualizing, what you knew you could get in camera but what you knew you would have to do in post and just talk us through the process?
Okay, is there any particular one that you're interested in?
I like the one, it's the very second one in that album, the one with the guy in the gas mask in the foreground.
Oh, okay. Now, that particular image is not actually a person.
Right.
It's a miniature, because I go to Supernovas. You know, you heard of Supernovas?
Is that like Comic-Con?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, okay.
And I would take even miniature statues and things like that, which I can use in my images.
Yeah, right.
And this particular image has that apocalyptic or end of First World War style about it.
Yeah.
With the old gas mask and things like that.
So that's actually just a little toy figurine.
Yeah, it's about 6 inches tall.
Nice. And all the other stuff in the background?
The stuff in the background, you can create that yourself using programs like DAZ 3D.
Okay.
Where you can, and they have brushes where you can actually brush rubbish in.
Okay.
Or they have different backgrounds you can use.
But things the bridge that just sort of ends in the middle of nowhere, that sort of stuff, is that all artificially created or is that some other photos?
That's a brush in Photoshop.
Wow.
You can. They're called Ron's brushes if anybody would like to go check that up.
Okay.
Under Divini in DAZ 3D. And there's thousands of brushes, quite cheap actually, which you can use.
Yeah.
And from fire to anything really.
Wow.
Ice, snow, rain, all that sort of thing.
So the only real thing in the image is the figurine.
Yeah, that's basically.
That's awesome.
But my latest ones, for example, I just last year we're in a place called Lanzarote, which is in the Canary Islands. Now, I was on holidays, but I deliberately wanted to go there for the alien-type landscape.
Oh, okay.
It's not very volcanic.
Right.
Right. So I would go to places, if I could, to try and get my own images.
Building your own stock library.
Yes, I do. Like all the stuff you might see of New York in my stuff is stuff I've taken.
Yeah, right. So is there any stuff here that's... I've just discovered your Stargate shot.
Your Stargate one?
I love that. So you've got a modern scene around the outside of the image that's all sort of blue and grey tones and a woman walking away from the camera with an umbrella, but then there's the Stargate, and through the Stargate you can see the past of the same city.
That's right, yeah.
That's nice.
I mean, I get my inspirations from different things I visually see.
Yep.
The New York scene is mine.
Yeah.
The Stargate is just like a wallpaper Stargate.
Yep.
And it's just a matter of saying, what can I do with this?
Yeah,
I mean, everybody knows what Stargate is.
Yep.
And again, I love the original version of Stargate because it's set in Egypt.
The movie, yeah.
Yeah. Yep. It's just, well, what can I go into for this Stargate? I wanted something that was... not say feasible, but something that would blend in with what I had, you know. I mean, that might be a little bit overdone for me now, that particular image.
In what respect?
Because, well, I've got the snow, I've got the shattering ice and that coming off.
Yep.
Sometimes I go back to an image and think, oh, it's hard to know when to stop and when to keep going.
Yep.
You know, so I think, oh, no, that's it. I better stop.
That's awesome. So... Yeah. I still just, I don't know, I'm lost for words as to how you come up with these concepts.
Well, I have a motto, and it's taken from Einstein, sorry.
Okay.
And it's imagination is more important than knowledge.
Oh,
because
yes.
without imagination,
yeah,
you can't imagine what I can do with this or build it.
Yeah. Nice.
So you need imagination before you need knowledge. And people say, oh, I'd have to have the knowledge. But if you've got the imagination to want to do something, then you'll find that knowledge.
Yep, absolutely. So is this now an income-producing hobby, or is it still just a hobby for the sake of being a hobby, or what is it?
A bit of combination. I used to work at the university, and I used to do my photo work as well as my normal job. But I don't work at the university anymore.
Right.
So I'm pushing my digital imaging work a lot more now and trying to get it out there.
Yeah, right.
I do make an income from other things like my events photography. I do events. I, I shoot for Newcastle Surf Fest.
Right. Yep.
I shoot other stuff, weddings, Westfield and things like that.
Oh, nice.
And from those sorts of things, I can still get more stock images.
Yeah, right.
You know, I've shot for Surf Fest for 10, 11 years now.
Oh, okay. Wow.
So all those sorts of things help along the way.
They give you the freedom to do your own thing in your own time.
Yeah, basically, yeah. Yeah, now, nice. Now I have more time. I'm just in the middle of a couple of series. I don't know if you've seen it, the Batman one.
Oh, yes. I have seen a couple of those just today.
Yeah, from the new movie, Batman versus Superman.
Yep.
And people come to me with some costumes. And, I mean, I want to shoot them anyway because I love cosplay.
Right.
It's a whole new world out there, cosplay. And they're so fanatical, and you can't hire someone to put that uniform on or that costume cheaply, you know what I mean?
Right.
So they've already got the costume and they've got everything to go. And
they're happy to be photographed.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, so, talk us through all of your props.
Yeah.
Now, you've since put me in touch with the guys at Armored Heaven.
Yes.
How did you discover them?
I was just on the web in Facebook, as you do.
Yeah.
And this girl, she had this prop, which looked pretty real, which is what I wanted to use. And I asked her where she got it. And yeah. She said Armored Heaven. And I looked at Armored Heaven. And at that time, they were just local down the road.
Oh, so in Newcastle?
But now he lives in Sydney now. And yeah. he ships around the world. He's actually just supplied a lot of toys to a new movie that's coming out, or they're going to do a new movie.
Yeah,
I won't say what it is, but he's supplying the weapons for that.
Wow.
So, I mean, they're only toys, you know.
Yep.
So they're not replicas or anything like that.
Yes, it's a bit of a fine line there as to how you position these things when you're trying to sell them. These things look so realistic, and that's what makes them great props, in my opinion, and the fact that they are generally full size. They're not scaled down.
Yeah, they're 1-to-1 scale. Yeah. And also I use a number of Nerf guns as well. They look great in sci-fi films.
Right. So I'm assuming you paint them, do you?
Yes, you do.
And what do you paint them with? Because plastics aren't the best things for putting paint on.
What you do is you use a black or whatever colour you want.
Yep.
And then you can get an old toothbrush and you can rub some silver paint on them, and then it gives it that metallic look.
Ah, right. Yeah.
So there's another whole world out there of people who modify Nerf guns.
Is that right?
Absolutely. You know, and they're incredible. Absolutely incredible.
And do you have to rough up the plastic to get the paint to adhere to it?
With the Nerf guns, you do, or a good primer.
Oh, okay, right.
But with the ones with Armored Heaven, I never had to do that.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I bought a pistol from them for a shoot I did a couple of months ago, and it looked fantastic. Didn't need to do anything to it. It was great.
Yeah, they come up well.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you just got to be careful you don't wave them around, you know, if they look good.
Yeah.
And just a bit of common sense. And, it's all fun and games, really.
Yeah, right. Now, I saw someone today on Facebook make a comment about you being brave having shot these Batman photos in that particular location. It was obviously an underpass somewhere.
That was actually in Cycle Way called the Fernley Track.
Right.
Okay. I know the comment you're talking about, but I never asked why. I just didn't answer it because there's no reason why I can't shoot in it. I think it's because the bike riders fly through there.
Oh,
and
you've got to
be careful. You got to be careful, you know, because they travel fairly fast through there.
Right.
And you just got to be a bit careful.
Hopefully you hear them coming before you see them.
Yeah, it was fun, though, because some kids came through and they saw Batman, you know.
Yeah.
Wow.
Know? Nice. And so do you do much off-camera flash stuff, or are you shooting primarily with natural light? Or?
Well, I shoot just about almost everything natural light.
Right.
I do use a pen light torch. If you look at those recent ones I just did of the new Batman,
yep,
and he looks a little bit blue and lit up, that's just using a pen light torch,
nice.
An inch long torch.
So what white balance were you shooting?
Basically auto, because there's so much different color lights, right. You know. So So I've got the contrast between the blue and the lights in the
tungsten
tunnel.
Light in the tunnel,
and that yellow color,
yeah, nice.
And you're not going to get rid of it unless you do a complete manual, and then you've got to change everything else. So
no, but the thing is, the tungsten colors lend themselves beautifully to that style of shot anyway.
Yeah,
like I wouldn't change the color anyway.
No, I just posted one just before you actually contacted me.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at the picture and going, what am I going to do with this? Because I liked it as it was. It was just great. I ended up posting something else on it. But I'm thinking, there's not much else I want to do to this because it's just...
It works.
Really, it works as is.
Yeah. And your composition is lovely too with him, you know, the whole of the tunnel just sort of focuses him right in the center of the frame, which is great. Well,
it's like a bat cave, you know. Yeah. I've got quite a different series in that tunnel, and then we went to another old open area over an industrial area.
Oh, okay. The outdoors.
So we tried to keep it in line with that sort of graphic feel.
Yeah, nice. There was something I was about to ask you, and now it's gone. Oh, the Heroes and More watermark that you put on the image, what's that all about?
Heroes and More, I know Simon Waite, who actually builds those sorts of things. He built that costume.
Oh, right.
He built Iron Man, a stormtrooper. He's an incredible guy that he struggles with his kids and everything else, but he has time to build these things. He loves them. That's what his love is.
Yeah, right.
He also raises money for the Starlight Foundation.
Oh, nice.
So that's really good. And he's only recently opened a shop in downtown Wall's End here up in Newcastle.
Right.
Old Heroes and More.
Right.
And I just put that on just for him.
So what, is he selling these costumes now?
Well, not the costumes, but all the shirts and things like that, but not costumes like that. He just sells like your stuff you see at the Supernovas.
Oh, so all your licensed merch.
Yes, all your licensed merchandise. Yeah,
nice.
So it's going well for him, and I hope it does better for him.
Good stuff.
And originally, a couple of years ago, I was going to shoot him as Iron Man.
Yeah,
and
right.
Time gets away and you get caught up in things. And he's been building this one for a while. And he says, I've got my Batman suit finished. I said, great, let's go shoot it, you know.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. Nice. Oh, so that's him in the costume?
Yes, that's him in the costume.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. All right, so to change gear a little bit, I saw that last week you took a model up to Lightning Ridge.
Ah, yeah, we... me and another photographer, Doug Coleman.
Yep.
I'm not sure if you know Doug Coleman.
I've interacted with Doug on the web, but no, haven't met him, haven't shot with him. Yep.
Well, you see, Doug is a fashion style photographer.
Okay.
And he does a lot of that sort of stuff, whereas I'm sort of on the other end of it.
Yep.
But also, we do a couple of road trips every now and then, and we work quite well together because Doug uses strobes in the full sunlight.
Yep.
Or on location, whereas I'll just shoot it normally.
Yep.
And things like that. So it's a really interesting trip out there, and we wanted to do it, and we took a wardrobe of clothes. And I also did what I call the second part of a theme I'm in the middle of.
Oh, what's that?
Well, I don't know if I should say.
Oh, okay.
No, I'll tell you. It's okay. The theme is a stealth fighter pilot, a female.
Oh, okay.
So I wanted the rugged landscape of out that way.
Yep.
And we shot the second part of that, and I'm shooting the first part in some plane cockpits in the next week or so.
Right.
So they'll be coming together. I've got to work out how I'm going to put it all together yet. So.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. Nice. So yeah, you say it's the second part in that series. Are you saying that whatever the first stage was, has any of that work been published yet?
No, it's a complete new theme.
Oh, right.
Kara is a great model from the Central Coast, Kara Murphy.
Right.
And she works very professionally and does a great job. Give us half a dozen looks out of one outfit or whatever.
Yeah, great.
And then I often work with her in different themes because I know she's – really reliable, does a great job, and we work well together. I did a mermaid shoot with her. I did a Fifth Element shoot. You probably see the Fifth Element ones on that page. That's Kara.
I'm trying to think. Is that in the Actionscapes?
Yes, that's let me have a look. I think I might be in Portraits, so I'm not sure, but it's the Fifth Element.
Right.
Yeah. So we did that a couple of years ago now.
Yeah, right.
So we're always looking for new ideas and themes to do. You know, we have a list. Might take us 5 years to do.
Yeah. But
we'll do it, you know.
Yeah. I was going to make the comment, it's really good that you get to go on a road trip with someone like Doug who has, from the sounds of things, like, you know, I don't know the guy directly, but from the sounds of what you've described, you and he have completely different approaches to photography, and it strikes me that that's the best kind of guy to go on a road trip with, because you're always... You know, rather than going on a road trip with someone who shoots in exactly the same style as you, this way you're each more likely to pick up tips from the other.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
It was only the other day I asked Doug when we're out there at the Ridge, we're out there about to shoot something, and I asked him what lens he was going to use.
Right.
And he said, oh, the 24-70. I said, yeah, that's what I'm going to use. And it's a fair... of your own ideas as well. We bounce stuff off each other, and we drive past a paddock, and we both see this paddock, and it's got a heat haze, and we say, whoop, turn around, you know what I mean? So, yeah, we do complement each other, I think, and we can shoot the same model in the same location and come up with different things.
Yeah, right.
Doug will have something specifically he wants to shoot, and so will I, and then other times we'll just work around certain things.
So do you let him drag you to his side of photography with shooting strobes and things, or do you just stick to your natural light?
I generally stick to my natural light, and it's a reason for that. But when we're at out at Lightning Ridge, I said, because I have a Broly and a strobe, little strobe,
yep,
on my flash head, and I said, I'm going to try the strobe this one, just because it's you, Doug. So so I will try that, you know.
Yeah.
And just a bit of fun. But I still, for example, generally that stuff I do for cosplay, if I go to a supernova, I won't use flash.
Right.
And the reason for that is because you get that shaded gradient in a more natural-looking face.
Yeah.
You know, and then you can blend it into a theme or a background much, much easier.
Well, I was going to ask you, when you're shooting, you know, things like this female fighter pilot theme that you've obviously conceptualized, and you've been out to Lightning Ridge and you've shot what are obviously going to be the backgrounds and the landscapes for those finished images.
Yeah.
When you're shooting the main subject, you know, which is generally going to be a model, are you concerned about the direction of the light? Like, have you finalized enough of an idea that you think I really need the light to be coming from this side or from that side, or do you just go with whatever the light gives you and then work your post-production composition based on what you've got?
Yeah, well, that particular theme, I knew I would want harsh light, and I knew I wanted like a day sun. It's a desolate theme.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
Yeah, there's another theme I was going to do along Nobby's break wall, and I need late afternoon light to do it.
Yep.
So it just depends, you know. I could have shot that second scene just as well up the sand dunes up a Ruby Point, but I wanted something different. You know, everybody shoots the sand dunes. I've done a female Mad Max shoot up there.
Right.
I've done Tegan. We did an airline crash scene with an air hostess scene.
Yeah, that was like a Lost type theme.
Yeah, yep. That's a few years ago, that one. And yeah, so it just depends, you know. If I know I need a very specific light, then I'll wait or do it.
Or create it, yeah.
Yeah, I do shoot a lot in midday sun. It doesn't worry me that much.
Right.
It just depends. You know, I like the harshness. I like most of my images will be high contrast.
Yep.
I mean, some of those shots we did at Cara up at Lightning Ridge, I feel I got some really, really nice model portfolio shots.
Yep.
And they're really nice. And I'll still go back to my, let's say, harsh scenes.
Right.
You know? Yeah, yeah. I call them gritty,
yep. You know,
something gritty. Because also I do know a guy who's a very high-end movie stills photographer. I know a couple, actually.
Okay.
This photographer, and I can mention his name if anybody wants to look him up, is Jason Boland, J-A-S-I-N, Boland, B-O-L-A-N-D.
Right.
Now, Jason is the man who did all the stills for Mad Max, the new one.
Fury Road.
Yeah.
I have a friend who starred, or not starred, she had a small role in the movie.
Yeah. He did the last Bond film in Rome. He did the last Bourne film. So he's quite high in the movie industry.
Yeah.
He's a Nikon ambassador. He's a very nice guy. And he originally started looking at my work and he complimented me on my work, which gave me that edge to push further, you know?
Yeah.
If somebody like that is looking at my work and commenting on it, then it makes you feel pretty good, you know?
It means you're getting noticed.
Yeah.
At the right levels.
Yeah. I just got to make it pay a bit. But
you know what? I've always said that if you're passionate about something, you do it because you're passionate and the money just follows. It may not be as, you know, as quickly as you would like, but I've always found that when you just do it because you love it, the money has a way of finding its way to you in the long run. I don't know if that's any consolation to you or not.
Well, that's the idea, I guess. I'm happy at the moment. You know, like I went through redundancy at Newcastle University.
Right.
Long story. Yep. But I'm in a situation where I probably can just enjoy my photography a bit more and put more into it.
That's great.
So that's what I'm doing. And I'm off to the Gold Coast in a couple of weeks for Supernova.
Lovely.
I was invited by a company doing a movie up there called Garrison 7.
Right.
When I was up there in Brisbane the end of last year, I just did some shots of the guys and I put them together like poster feel.
Yep.
And they really liked it. So they're interested in me doing some stuff for them up there.
Nice.
So
this could be your introduction into the movie stills industry?
Who knows? It's a very specialised field, to be honest.
Yeah.
And what I see Jason Boland do is incredible.
Well, I was just going to say, I would imagine that once you get to that sort of level, he's probably not having to do the compositing, I would imagine. He'd just shoot it and hand it off and they'd have a team of digital artists who would then turn it into a composited work, wouldn't they?
Well, yeah.
Or does he still do his own Photoshop?
Oh, he does it. No, he does a very little editing. He doesn't have time, really.
Yeah.
He's away for 6 to 12 months every time.
Yeah, right.
So it's full on for him. So,
wow.
But, you know, he's a really nice person. He'll always give the amateur a hand, you know, and, yeah, it's a privilege to know those people.
Now, I saw on your Facebook only a couple of days ago that there was mention of someone who was shooting stills for a movie, but I didn't think it was Jason Boland. I thought it was someone else. Or was it Jason Boland?
It might be Jason. Simon Hutchison. He's a friend I knew through Jason, and he actually shot the Tomb Raider movies and Troy.
Yes, that's who it was. Because he made a comment on one of Doug's images, and I think you then said, hey, Doug, that's high praise. And
that is.
Doug didn't realise who it was, and yeah.
No, he got in contact with me after and asked me.
Nice.
Yeah, so, I mean, Simon is another very generous person in a high-end field, and
right.
And he helps the amateur, and you know, he was trained by Alex Bailey, I think it was.
Right.
In England.
You'll have to forgive me. I don't know the name.
Oh, he's a pretty high-level fashion photographer, I believe, in England.
Right, right. Mm. So I just finally wanted to wrap up with asking, did you get any formal training in Photoshop and, you know, digital compositing from anyone in particular, or were you completely self-taught?
Basically, I'm self-taught. As I said in the beginning, Carl Hensel would show me things.
Yep.
But it was basic things. And it was just how to do certain things, which was great. And then it's just been self-taught, really. I would just spend hours and hours on the computer and and learn how to cut out properly and feathering, the right type of feathering. I just completed my first course, which I was actually the lecturer.
Oh, nice.
I had quite a few people interested in what I do.
Yeah.
And they said, oh, they'd like to learn. If you do a course, let me know. And I had more and more people ask me.
Right.
So I said, oh, well, I'll give it a go. And I did my first one in end of February, March, which was quite good. Small class, about six people.
Yep. And how long did that run for? Was it a day course or a weekend course?
No, it was two sessions. One was an on-location session.
Yep.
Where we actually shot a cosplayer in the same tunnel as Batman there.
Oh, okay, yep.
Because I said it's low-light photography.
Yep.
And you're not going to use a flash, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and then the second part was showing how I composite images and basic things. It wasn't a course in Photoshop. It was a course in the tools I use and how I blend images together.
Oh, nice.
And a few little secrets like feathering and the history brush and the path. A lot of people don't use path tools for cutting out and they don't use the history brush, which is one of the two tools I use most of.
Is that right?
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right. Well, I never got around to asking, what are you shooting with these days? Obviously, you're shooting digitally. What camera body are you with?
I have a D4, Nikon D4. Always been a Nikon person, and I'm not going to do any Canon fights, but I've always had a Nikon, so it doesn't matter, you know.
And are you shooting with all a modern collection of lenses, or are you still hanging on to some of your old lenses from your analog days?
No, I've got the, let's say, the newer ones are these 70 to 200 Nikon lens. Beautiful lens. I use it for portraits and everything.
Yep.
The 24 to 70, which covers a lot of stuff.
Yep.
I some of that stuff in that tunnel and that, you might see I used a 15 mil fisheye.
Right.
Which is a Sigma lens, which is a great little lens. Yep. It's a 2.8. They're all fast lenses.
Yep.
And then I also last year ended up buying a Sigma 300mm
2.8. Oh, nice.
Which I've still used for portrait work.
Yeah, I can imagine.
I just got to stand back a fair bit. It gives a fantastic bokeh. Yeah.
You just have to buy a megaphone at the same time.
Yeah, no, I got that for sport.
Yeah, just stand a little bit to the left.
Yeah, and I have a 300S, which is my backup camera now, which is a DX camera.
Yep.
So, but my D4 is a fantastic camera. It's fast. It's good for low light.
Yep.
It's great. I love it. So
fantastic. All right, so if people want to check out your work, obviously you've got your own website, richardbartlett.com.
Yep.
And you've also got Richard Bartlett Photography and Digital Creation, which is your Facebook page.
Yeah, I have a couple, actually.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, that's a creation one. I have an events page, which I made because people, when I did events like Surfest and things like that, people would ask, where can I see the pictures?
Right.
So now I have an events page, and I just put albums for the events I do.
Oh, nice. All right, and is there anywhere else that people should look to find your work? Are you on 500px? Are you on Instagram?
Oh, yes, yes, I'm on 500px. I'm on Flickr.
Right.
ViewBug. And I can't think of what else I'm on.
Cool. All right, well, I will find all of those links and make sure that they are in the show notes for anyone that wants to check out Richard's work. Definitely do it, particularly if you've ever had an interest in compositing multiple images into, a complex composition. Richard has absolutely developed the art beautifully, and mate, I wish you all the very best with what you do, because it's inspiring stuff.
Oh, thank you. Can I just say one thing?
Sure.
Often I look at other people's work and I think, oh, well, wish I was that good. You know what I mean? I know nothing. And it's a typical thing. People do praise some of my works, and I'm going, oh, it's average, you know, because you get to used to your own stuff, because I know what
you see
the end result, where I see what goes into it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, there's some fantastic photographers and digital artists out there.
And you probably look at your finished works and still notice little things that you probably think, oh, I could have done that just a bit better, where 99% of the rest of us wouldn't even notice it.
Absolutely.
Am I correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You think, oh, I missed that spot there.
Yeah. But,
and sometimes you can't see it till you print it because when you look at it on a screen, you're staring at a screen and it's not the same as you need to print them sometimes and just look at them.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. Well, mate, thank you for coming on the podcast.
Pleasure.
It's been great to have a chat. And we will definitely have to get together for a shoot at some point.
Yeah, it'd be good.
Well, I guess that's it. Glyn should be back from India this Saturday, so that will mean, well, that'll be in the past by the time you get to hear this podcast, but that will mean that next week we'll have Glyn back on deck, so looking forward to getting back to the usual madness and mayhem. Richard, thanks, mate, and we'll catch up with you.
Oh, thanks. Thanks very much for having me.
No worries.
Good night.
Shutters Inc., another audio2you.com quality podcast. For previous episodes, check out shuttersincpodcast.com or search the iTunes Music Store. For questions, comments, and feedback, email theboys@shuttersincpodcast.com.